Iran war disruption just sent Japan's 10-year government bond yield to a level we haven't seen since I was in diapers. That's 2.545%. And hedge funds are literally betting on corn. We're breaking it all down.
Good morning, I'm Marie, and welcome to Investment Flash for Tuesday, May 12th, 2026. Joining me, as always, Tom, who never met a rally he didn't chase, and Gerald, who's probably already grimacing at that yield number. Gerald, what's your first Kate?
Right, so Japan's 10-year JGB hitting 2.5%. That's the highest since June 1997. For context, back then I still had hair, and the Spice Girls were topping the charts. But jokes aside, this is a powerful signal. US-Iran talks have stalled, inflation fears are brewing, and now the bond vigilantes are saddling up in Tokyo.
Wait, Gerald, you're worried about a 2.5% yield? That's practically zero for US Treasuries. I'm more interested in what this means for the dollar and that emerging market AI trade JP Morgan is pushing. If yields are spiking globally, that's a stronger dollar, which could hurt EM, no?
And here I thought you'd both be talking about the oil play. The Iran war is the root cause, after all. But no, really, this yield move is a direct spillover. We're seeing inflation pressure from energy supply tightness. And it's not just Japan. Korean yields are also under pressure. That cascades into everything from mortgages to credit spreads.
Exactly. Look at the long-duration Treasury ETF, down near its 52-week low, down 1.7% year-to-date. If this keeps up, it's a catastrophe for anyone holding duration. And high-yield credit? That ETF is flat but vulnerable. Spreads could widen fast if inflation sticks.
Speaking of oil, the supply picture is getting tighter by the day. ExxonMobil and Shell are resuming Alaska drilling, and we saw a 70% surge in Panama Canal oil shipments as Asia buys more U.S. crude. That's FT, Nikkei Asia, and Bloomberg all pointing to the same thing. Oil prices aren't coming down anytime soon.
And that's why the U.S. oil fund ETF has more than doubled year-to-date, up 101%, trading at 52-week highs. But Marie, is this all priced in? That's a triple-digit annual gain. I'm getting flashbacks to the natural gas blow-up in 22.
Hang on, Tom. You're asking if it's crowded, and you'd be right to. The energy sector ETF is up 25% year-to-date. ExxonMobil up 22. Chevron up 18.5. It's not just the ETFs. The stocks are near highs. But here's the thing. The jet fuel crunch Bloomberg flagged could really bite during summer travel. Delta Airlines is already down almost 3% today on those fears, so the pain is spreading to consumers.
So the buy signals are Exxon, Chevron, the energy ETF, US oil fund, and the sell is airlines, Delta, and the airline ETF. But Gerald, you'd love this. Hedge funds are piling into corn and soybeans to play the biofuel angle. That's a classic commodity squeeze if oil stays elevated. The corn fund is 2% off its 52-week high, soybeans up nearly 15% year-to-date.
Right, so now we're talking about the biofuels bet. The FT reported that hedge funds are explicitly betting on corn and soybeans as a biofuel play. But let's not forget, these are agricultural commodities. They're at or near 52-week highs. And if oil prices retreat, these trades unwind violently. We've seen this movie before.
Buddy, you sound like a bond guy who's allergic to momentum. Corn's up 6.5% year to date, soybeans almost 15. With Iran still a mess, I don't see oil retreating fast enough to kill this trade. It's a supply story, not demand.
But Tom, you're cute when you're chasing a 50 times multiple. The point Gerald is making is about crowded positioning. If a US-Iran deal suddenly materializes, oil drops, and corn goes with it. It's not a 50 times multiple, it's a commodity beta. Gerald, chérie, must you puncture every rally before breakfast?
Well, while everyone's gambling on grain, there's actually a fascinating corporate deal on the table. Dreamfinders Homes made about a $700 million all-cash bid for Beazer Homes, reported by both The Journal and Bloomberg. Beazer shares shot up 34% in a day. That's a proper old-school mergers and acquisitions premium.
And Dreamfinders is up 5% on the news, so the market likes this energy angle.
That's the kind of event that could spark a broader homebuilder re-rating. With rates where they are, wait, are rates actually helping? Mortgage rates might be high, but the bid shows developers see value in consolidation.
But no, think about the regulatory angle. Two U.S. home builders merging in this environment, the FTC might have something to say about market concentration. Gerald, your value heart must be fluttering. If the deal closes, Dreamfinders gets more scale. But if it gets blocked, Beezer's 34% pop evaporates.
Indeed, I'd push back on the easy money here. Beezer's share price is now close to the offer value, so the arbitrage spread is thin. Dreamfinders, on the other hand, is up, but has integration risk. I'd rather own a deep value home builder at 8x earnings than chase a deal premium. But for today, both are inferred buys.
All right, let's talk about what really gets my heart racing. JP Morgan is telling investors to rotate AI exposure from US to emerging markets. Taiwan, Korea, China large caps, all the AI hardware supply chain plays. The US semiconductor ETF is at a 52-week high and up 54% year-to-date. But JP Morgan says EM offers more upside.
Right. So JP Morgan sees bitter valuations and potential dollar weakness. But Tom, we just talked about global yields surging. If that strengthens the dollar, it kills the EM trade. I'd push back on that. The China large cap ETF is at just 0.93 price to book. That's cheap, but cheap for a reason if the dollar rips.
Voila! And Taiwan up 50% year to date, Korea up nearly 89%. These are not undiscovered gems. But the AI narrative is real. Samsung and SK Hynix are memory kings. Still, if the dollar strengthens, emerging market currency stress could undermine this entire thesis. I don't see anyone talking about that today.
Wait, but JP Morgan is calling for dollar weakness. If you believe that, you buy EM. The Taiwan ETF is at a 52-week high, but still has room if AI demand keeps booming. It's not just semis, it's the whole supply chain. I'm with JP Morgan on this one.
Tom, remember when you said semis were cooked in Q2? That was April. And now retail is flooding into chip stocks like it's a meme. Bloomberg called it silly. The semiconductor ETF hit a fresh 52-week high. But retail traders jumping in after missing the rally, that's historically a yellow flag, not green.
I was just about to bring that up. Semis retail flood. The signal group there is literally watch. The move is extreme. So while you're buying EM AI plays, Tom, maybe take some profits on US semis. Just a thought, Sherry.
Marie, you wound me. But fine, I'll watch it. The fundamentals are still strong, but I see the positioning risk. If semiconductor ETF corrects, it'll be quick and painful.
Now for something completely off the beaten path. The FT published its ranking of Africa's fastest growing companies for 2026. South Africa dominated, Kenya overtook Nigeria, and an Egyptian business topped the list. The South Africa ETF is up just 3.5% year-to-date, and still 12% below its 52-week high. That's real value, Gerald.
All right, so 0.93 price to book on South Africa. That's my kind of number. But we have to be careful. The Frontier Markets ETF includes Kenya and Egypt, but also a lot of noise. I'd rather stick to South Africa directly.
I don't know, Gerald. 3% year-to-date in this market is basically a coma. But if the growth story is improving, maybe it's a value trap unwinding. I'll watch, but I'm not jumping in yet.
Tom, you're cute. It's not about momentum. It's about a structural business environment improvement. But yes, the hold signal on the Frontier Markets ETF is probably right. Too diluted. So for Africa, it's buy South Africa, hold the rest.
Speaking of rotation, Spencer Jacob in the Journal today had a provocative piece. Leading stocks are losing their low asset edge. He's arguing that capital-intensive firms are gaining favor over asset-light tech. If that plays out, the S&P 500's internal leadership could completely flip.
That's fascinating. So we might see money flowing out of the Mag 7 and into energy, materials, industrials. But is this real or just a conceptual early-stage call? The S&P 500 ETF is at all-time highs, up 8% year-to-date. I'd want more confirmation.
No way, Marie. You're going to abandon my sweet, sweet tech because some column says so? The whole world runs on software. Low asset intensity is a feature, not a bug. I bet you a croissant that Apple still crushes it next quarter.
Tom, if you're offering breakfast, I'll take that bet. But seriously, Jacob's point is that the market's rewarding the capital guzzlers now. Look at the energy stocks we just talked about. It might be early, but it's a watch signal.
All right, let's pull it all together. Today's signals are screaming one thing: oil dominance reflation. Japan's yields at 29-year highs, biofuel bets, majors back in Alaska. U.S. oil fund doubling, it's all one narrative. But that narrative is now consensus.
So the counter-argument is that oil's rally is crowded, and any diplomatic breakthrough could crater everything. U.S. oil fund, energy sector, corn, soybeans. And on bonds, the short-duration trade is packed. The long-duration Treasury ETF is at its 52-week low. A dovish Bank of Japan signal could trigger a violent short squeeze in Treasuries.
And that's the danger, Tom. The crowded bond short is the biggest risk to this whole reflation view. If we get a downtick in inflation, or the BOJ blinks, TLT could rip 10% in a week. So we'd rather watch for that bounce and then reassess than pile on more shorts now.
Also, no one is discussing U.S. rate policy reaction. With global yields spiking, will the Fed lean against it or let it happen? And the dollar strength could undermine the EMAI trade that JP Morgan is pitching. That's missing from today's coverage. A big blind spot.
Right. So the cleanest cross-cutting expression might be rotating from momentum into value. Short the overbought semis, buy undervalued South Africa, and short long-duration bonds. But again, that bond short is the crowded trade we're worried about.
For me, the home builder mergers and acquisitions is one of the few fresh catalysts. Dreamfinder's bid for Beazer isn't tied to oil or rates directly. So I'm watching Beazer for deal closure progress. If regulators don't block it, there's a genuine catalyst there.
And I'm keeping an eye on those emerging market AI plays, but I hear Marie's point on the dollar. If the dollar index rises, I'll reconsider. But for now, JP Morgan's call is tempting.
As always, none of this is investment advice. We're just three friends chatting about markets. Please do your own research.
That's all for today. We'll be back tomorrow morning with another edition. Until then, stay sharp and maybe, just maybe, don't bet the farm on corn.
I'll stick to bonds. See you tomorrow.
Au revoir, everyone. Back on Wednesday.